Okay, B'shem Kol Yisrael. More of a Shemesh for Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis HaAretz. So says our Rebbe, a short Torah. Rosh Tevos, Olech Chaf Beis. Add up the Rosh Tevos at the first Pasuk of Chumash. So you have a Beis, Beis, Aleph, Aleph, Hey, Vav, Hey. What's the gematria? 2 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 5 plus 6 plus 5 is 22. Rashi Tevos Olech Chaf Beis. Why? The Rameis Shebechaf Beis Osvan De'oraisa Nivru Kol Olamos. Because it's hinting to the fact that the building blocks of all of the worlds with the 22 letters of the Torah, there are 22 letters, Aleph through Taf, the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. So with the 22 letters of Aleph through Tav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the worlds. Everything is built with letters. It's a very important yesod in the Sefer Yetzirah. The Baal HaTanya speaks about it. Rav Tzadok speaks about it. All the tzaddikim speak about it. Some more barichos, some a little bit less. But the 22 letters, the Maggid of Mizrich, Zuchusi Agen Aleinu, said a different var. He said, Bereishis Bara Elokim. What's the first thing Hashem created? What's the next word? S, Aleph through Tav. It's the same idiom. The first thing Hashem created were the letters from which He then created everything else. So everything is made up of letters. Our physical eyes don't have the ability to see it, but Bidvar Hashem, Shemayim Nasu, through the word of Hashem, when a person speaks, you don't see letters coming out of my mouth right now. So we don't have the eyes to see. We don't see how this desk is made up of Hebrew letters. That's its spiritual existence. It gets its chiyus from the letters of creation, but that's the reality. Our eyes can't see it. Okay, so the first pasuk of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis HaAretz, is Rosh Tevos HaBeis, because those are the building blocks by which Hashem created the world. And again, like the Maggid said, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis. The first thing Hashem created was Aleph through Tav. Everything else comes from that. Okay? Wow. Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Shemayim V'Gomer V'Aretz Haisa Sohu V'Vohu V'Yomer Elokim Yihi Or V'Yihi Or V'Yavdel Elokim. So Unkelis translates, Unkelis Tirgim Bereishis Bara Elokim. Targum Unkelis translates the word Bereishis as Bekadmin Bara Elokim. What does Bekadmin mean? Bereishis, whatever Bereishis means. Now, it's not so simple to translate Bereishis. Rashi says, don't translate Bereishis in the beginning. Because it's not the first thing. Okay, tough. In the beginning, it's not in the beginning, right? In the beginning of the creating of, Rashi says, we have to figure out what it means. But Bekadmin, okay, let's see what that means. Vitzarach lavin, we need to understand what Unkelis is saying. Halo Rashi mavar beferush. She'i epsher lefarish milas bereishis shebetchila bar elokim eis hashamayim v'esaretz. You can't translate bereishis bar elokim as in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Why can't you translate it that way? What does Rashi say? Why can't you translate it that way?
Explains that it's like a whole bunch of other things like eish and shamayim.
Because it's not the first thing, right? Right? Velo, I'm reading Rashi now. Velo baha mikra lahoru seder habriya. Lo mar she'elu kadmu. Right? Rashi says you can't translate the word Bereishis to say that in the beginning Hashem created Shemayim v'aretz, because that's not the first thing Hashem created. Right? So it must be some type of introductory pasuk that in the beginning of creating Shemayim v'aretz, which again, that's the big, like that's the overview, as God is creating Shemayim V'aretz, Vayomer Elokim Yihior, God starts with light. Right? But it can't be the first thing Hashem created with Shemayim V'aretz, because that's not the first thing that Hashem created. That's how Rashi has to grapples with how to translate the word Bereishis. Don't translate it, right? In the beginning, Hashem created Shemayim V'aretz, because that's not the beginning. That's not the first thing Hashem created. Right? Here in my Chayenu, it says, in the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth. And that's, right? As we're about to create Shemayim V'aretz, not that Shemayim V'aretz is first, but That's the goal. The goal is to create a Shemayim and a Haaretz. I'll tell you a quick vart, since it's the Berditchev's Yartzei today. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev's Yartzei today. The Halakha Kedusha Slevi. So he says, when the Pasuk says, in the fourth parak, is in the fourth parak? Not in the fourth parak, it makes no sense. When the Pasuk says, Eile toldos hashamayim va'aretz, parak beis pasuk dalet. Eile toldos hashamayim va'aretz bihibaram. Eile toldos. These are the things of shamayim and aretz when they were being developed. Biyom asos hashem elokim eretz v'shamayim. Parak beis pasuk dalet. Listen again. Eile toldos hashamayim v'haaretz bihibaram. Biyom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. So the Berditchever asks, why does it say, why does it switch from shamayim v'aretz to eretz v'shamayim? So he says a beautiful vart. He says, what does toldos mean? Toldos means tachlis. Toldos means the purpose. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of creation? The purpose of creating shamayim v'aretz is biyom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. What does that mean? It means obviously, Shemayim on a certain level is greater than Aretz, and that's why the Torah begins. Bereishis bara Elokim eis haShemayim veis haaretz. And here in Perek Beis, when it's reviewing it, it says Eile toldos haShemayim veHaaretz. But the real toldos, explains the Berditchever, the real tachlis of creation is achieved biyom asos Hashem Elokim eretz veShemayim, when the eretz comes before the Shemayim. In other words, what the Berditchever is saying is the following. What's more geschmack? Me teaching my child something or my child teaching me something? My child teaches me something. Right? When a child does something, right, that gives much more pleasure to the parent than when the parent does for the child. Right? In other words, what makes something exciting? What makes something geschmack? Right? Novelty. If I'm really rich and I always have gourmet meals, so then nothing tastes good. Everything tastes the same. If I'm not so wealthy, once a year on my birthday and anniversary, I go out to a nice restaurant and I'm able to enjoy it. It becomes very memorable. But if I'm always, you know, if there's no sense of chiddush, right? So then it gets old. It gets boring. It's not exciting. It's the novelty. It's the chiddush of it. That makes it geschmack, that makes it enjoyable, that makes it tasty, that makes it memorable. So when Hashem provides for us, that's kind of what we expect. Avinu Shvashamayim, you're the creator, I'm the created being, of course. That's the way it's supposed to be, top down. But the real tachlis of creation, why did Hashem make a world? For Hashem to provide for us, that's not so exciting for God. That's obvious. It's obvious for us also that Hashem provides for us. When I feel that I can do something for Hashem, when the Eretz comes before Shemayim, right, then we achieve the tachlis of creation. That's the excitement. That's the excitement of a life of avodas Hashem. You know, when I feel that I can do for Hashem, and that's part of, by the way, what Chodesh Mar Cheshvan Haba Aleinu Letova is about, right? Tishrei, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, yes, we're working hard, but a lot of it's gifts that Hashem's giving us. Right? Now, when we get back to the regular flow of life, it's our turn to start giving back to Hashem. So anyways, coming back to our pasuk. So Bereishis bara Elokim. So Rashi says you can't translate the word Bereishis in the beginning, and yet Unkelis translates Bereishis as Bekadmim, which sounds like in the beginning. Okay, so says our Rebbe. V'nira, says the Mor v'Shemesh. D'ba l'rames d'hine atzmusu yisbarach shemohu bilti musab. Again, this is a theme we're going to see a lot in the Mor v'Shemesh. It's very helpful. It gives us the yesodos of creation, of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. And he tells us that the etzem, the atzmios, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bilti musag, cannot be grasped. We can't understand the essence of Hashem. We can't make contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What's the closest thing we have to that? The closest thing we have to that is the Torah. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took himself and wrote himself down. So when a yid is dancing at the end of a long Elul and a Rosh Hashanah and a Sarasmei Tshuva and a Yom Kippur and then Sukkah and Lulav and Esrog and Hoshana Rabbah And now finally he takes the Sefer Torah in his hand and he's hugging it while he's dancing with it on Simchas Torah. Right? He's giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu a hug. What do you mean he's giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu a hug? The most tangible way to make contact with God is to hold the Sefer Torah in your arms. The Sukkah is a Kadosh Baruch Hu hugging us. Simchas Torah is us hugging the Kadosh Baruch Hu back, or dancing with the Sefer Torah. Clutching the Sefer Torah in our arms. Right? That's the best we got in terms of being able to make contact with Hashem. That's why it's called Shmini Atzeres. Shmini means the number 8 is always what? What does the number 8 mean in Jewish
of nature?
Jewish ideas in the world of Machshava? It means L'mal Men Ateva. That's right. In Machshava, Shmini is L'mal Men Ateva. It's L'mal Men Ateva that a Jew should be able to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the bridge to make that connection. How else can I make contact with Hashem? You're a perfect created being, and I'm Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Adam Yesodu Me Ofer Ve'sofo La'ofer. I come from the dirt, I go back to the dirt. How am I going to make contact with you? And the answer is through the Sefer Torah. That's where we meet up. That's how we make contact. So it's called Shmini Atzeres. So Shmini represents L'malam in Ateva. Right? What does Atzeres mean? The uncle translates Knisha. Not a Kanish, but it means to gather in. Chag HaOsif, right? That's what we're doing on Sukkot. It's the culmination of Sukkot in a certain sense. The gathering, right? So we're trying to gather something. We're trying to take something in. That's what we're doing. After all of these days of so many mitzvot, we want to make sure we walk away with something. That's why we're clutching the Torah. Mamish, that's the end of this whole... Everything we've been working on since Rosh Chodesh Elul is to be able to clutch the Torah. That's why it's so geshmak. You have to come back to yeshiva with a great excitement for learning, because that's how you hold on to everything that we just went through. Right? So that's why in Shmini Atzeres is there a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres? No mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres. Sam Sofer writes in the Drashos, right? So Sam also writes it. Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres, there's no mitzvah. No particular mitzvah. Pesach, Matzah, Sukkah, the Lulav, the Esog. What's the mitzvah of Shmini Atzeres? The answer is nothing. It's just making direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's getting as close as we can to this word that he just said here, etzem. What does etzem mean? Ayin tzad yimem means essence. What's the gematria of the word etzem? Use a mem sofit. Who knows mem sofit? Mem sofit is 600. Right? Tav is 400. Aleph to Tav is 400. Chaf sofit is 500. Mem sofit is 600. So how much is etzem? 760. What's the gematria of the word atzeres?
760.
Shmini atzeres.
It's
760. Right? So what happens on Shmini atzeres? Shmini again represents malam and ateva. We're reaching beyond ourselves. And atzeres, what are we gathering up? What are we collecting? There's no mitzvah, there's no lulav, there's no eser, there's no nothing. Simchas Torah, it's a minog. Right, obviously, it's everything, but... Saying there's no maisa mitzvah, there's nothing you have to do on Shmini Atzeres. So what are we doing? We're making contact directly with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's etzem, right? That's why we come back to Bereishis Bara Elokim. We're right back to the beginning. But the pashtus is that Atzmusa Yisbarach Shmo Hu Bilti Musag. You can't make contact with the essence of Hashem. Ve'ein Shum Ra'ayon U'Machshava Tvisa Be'Klal, says the Mor V'Shemesh. No ra'ayon, no machshava, no mind can tfisa be'klal, can grasp him at all. We can't really understand Hashem. Ratzal lomar, ha-machshava shel kol ha-machshavos. Right? The thought of all thought, the idea of all ideas, ein tofes atzmuso yisbarach shemo, v'hu nela mikol ra'ayon. No mind can grasp that. You can't bottle that up. It's ne'elam, it's hidden from any understanding. This is what we find sometimes, what? Called in the Svarim, the Or, the light of Hashem, that's lo yada, that's not knowable. Right? Purim, when I throw away my brain, then I can understand. That's the irony of Purim. Right? The ad lo yada of Purim is that what my mind can't grasp, my not mind can grasp. When I lose my das on Purim, then all of a sudden I understand. That's a total paradox. Right? My brilliant mind can't chap Hashem, But in my drunken ad de lo yada state, now all of a sudden I make contact with the ur de lo yada. All of a sudden, now I get it. Sometimes it's called resha de lo isyada, right? A noble head of God. Resha de lo isyada is Rashi Tevos Adar. You see that? Resha de lo isyada is Adar. In the month of Adar on Purim, through drinking, somehow we're able to understand things that a rational mind can't understand. Yoini, what do you want to say? You had your hand up? Oh, I thought you had your hand up. Okay. Va'afilu noisei ki akisei hamakachin oso b'chol yom va'omrim melocha la'aretz kavodo sho'alin ayei mekom kavodo. And even the angels are still asking the same question, where is the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavodo? Where is the place of his honor? Where is the place of his glory? How do you want to translate ayei mekom kavodo? So I've told some of you in the past that kavod is a code word for essence. When David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, wake up my kavod, uru kvodi, wake up my honor. No, kavod is synonymous with neshama, the essence of you. So the same thing, ayim ekom kavodu, is that the angels who are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who know everything, right, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from a much closer perspective, so to speak, they're also asking the question, ayim ekom kavodu, but where's his essence? We still feel like we're not able to grasp the essence of God. Of course not. They ain't so flach do so. There's no end to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. V'umemale kol almin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all worlds. U'latzmuso ein laharech shum demus v'shum or. And his essence cannot be compared, cannot be estimated, cannot be evaluated in any image, with any measure of illumination. It's just totally beyond. Right? This is what Rabbi Akiva said to the heretic who said, I want to see God. Rabbi Akiva said, go look at the sun. I can't. It hurts my eyes too much. Right. So obviously you can't see the essence of God. You can't even look at one of God's created, you know, beings. Part of creation, you can't even bear to look at. It's so powerful. And that's a physical light. It's not even a spiritual light. You want to see the atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What, are you crazy? Okay. So what's the question then? We were just saying, but we want to be connected to Hashem. Right? We want to be connected. We don't want to feel like we're boxed out, like there's no point of contact. So how did the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, how does he expect us, looking out the window at the graffitied buildings of Washington Heights, how does the Kadosh Baruch Hu expect us to make contact with him? You're saying I can't, even if I was my greatest, if I was a malach, I couldn't really know you. So how do I get to know you? So when it entered HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supernal will to create the world, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do? Again, these are the fundamentals of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to what? Contract himself, had to conceal himself. And he had to make a makom panoi. He needed to make an empty space. Literally an empty space for the world. Now, of course, the empty space is not actually empty. Tanya would tell you it's just a perception of emptiness. But okay, it's a good trick. It looks like Hashem is nowhere to be found. Right, so that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding himself, contracting himself, concealing himself, limiting himself to make room for us. And it's through that contraction, that constriction, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu what allows something to manifest, allows the world to reveal itself. It's pretty cool when you think about childbirth, no? One of our friends had a baby yesterday, a baby boy. Mazel tov. Mazel tov to Jeremy and Zahava Wexler on the birth of a baby boy. So it's pretty crazy because my kids were saying, like, well, we just saw Zahava like the day before. And now, like, we're looking at a picture of a baby. Like, that was what was, that was in her. Right? It's, like, so hidden. You don't know, is it a boy? Is it a girl? You don't know what it is. You don't know what the child looks like. It's hard to imagine that person was inside of another person. And then there's the tzimtzum. What's the tzimtzum? The contractions. Right? When the woman actually has contractions, that's called tzimtzum. And then it allows for what? For giloy. It allows for now the child to emerge. That which was hidden is now revealed. That's what Hashem did. Hashem gave birth to the world. Hashem Baruch Hu went through contractions to reveal something that was contained within himself. And that's what it means, the Maimar Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nis'atef. What is Nis'atef? Nis'atef b'tzitzit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself. In other words, he had to hide himself. He had to shield himself. Because again, he's too bright. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and again, it's all a mashal. Hashem's not a light. But Hashem is too, it's too overwhelming. We can't look at it and survive and exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wrap himself, had to hide his light in a certain way to allow for creation to exist. Amnam. I never thought of it this way until just now. I wonder, what are we going through now? We're living the psukim at the end of the Chumash that says that, right, that Anochi haster astir panai. Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself. Haster astir, I'm going to double hide myself. I'm going to hide myself even more. I never thought, and that's like a big, right? So that's like a big curse. Or we saw in the Ramban, right before the break, many, many eons ago, we saw in the Ramban that what? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the scariest possible, but at the same time, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, no, now I'm going to change my old face of wrath towards you, and now I'm just going to be hiding from you, but I'm smiling from behind the curtain, so to speak. That was the positive spin on the Ramban had on the pasuk. But maybe, just like Hashem hid himself to allow this world to exist, so maybe the Hester of the end of days, of this last 2,000 years of Galus, is also like one big contraction before giving birth to Mashiach. Right? I never thought of this whole period as like, this is the tzimtzum that precedes the light of Mashiach. The birthing of Mashiach. It gives you like a lot more chizuk. I mean, because when the woman is going through the labor, you know, pangs, it's the birth pangs, it's incredibly painful. Right? But she's able to do it because she knows that something beautiful is coming from this. So also, to be chizuk for all the pain the Jewish people go through in Galus, it's all just part of, we should be able to smile through the pain because we know we're giving birth to Mashiach. Never thought of Hester Panim as like that concealment as a constriction of giving birth to Mashiach. Maybe I'm not saying anything novel at all, I don't know. Abnama Tzimtzum Ahu Machmas Godo Bihiruso Lohaya Koach Ba Kalim Lisbol Ha'orhahu. It says the Rebbe, the Mor v'Shemesh, and he's teaching us Kabbalistic ideas B'derech Chasidus. But because the light is so bright, the tzimtzum was still not enough to contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kalim, the vessels, whatever is supposed to be receiving this contracted light, it was still too powerful for the vessels to contain it. Lisbol ha'orahu, to handle it. V'haya bilti efsharishias kaimu. Right? It was overwhelmed. So what happened to the vessels? The vessels had to undergo a further shattering. Shayu niftalim migodol bihiras or kadmon, that they were batal, they were negated from the great illumination of that original light. V'haya olam ta'u. So, however, what does it say? How does the Chumash begin? He's just reading the opening psukim of the Torah, and he's explaining to us the yesodos of Kisvei Arizal. What's he telling us? He's saying, Bereishis bara Elokim, the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creating of Shemayim Va'aretz, Va'aretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu. Right? Sohu Vavohu, there was something broken, and desolate. There was something that couldn't be contained. V'haya ha'olam tohu, shelo hayu b'yacholes shi'es kaimu. He's not reading the pasuk the way we read the pasuk, that before there was a world, there was a nothing. No, he's saying, no, part of creation was a Kadosh Baruch Hu shattering these vessels. Hashem's started to contract that light, but it was still too powerful for the world. And it caused a breakage. Alkein hutra chamati litzamtzim od elokuso. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to contract himself further. Kadesh ha'keilim yuchlo lispola orahu. To create a world that was what? That was sustainable. So there was really a double tzimtzum that the Arizal describes at the beginning of creation. So maybe that fits beautifully with what we were just saying. Haster astir. Right, because Baruch Hu has also a double concealment before Mashiach comes. V'yasigu ma'at ma'at ha'or harishon, and then slowly, slowly, we're able to start absorbing the light. V'nasa olam hatikun, and then the world can come, start rebuilding, perfecting the world the way it's supposed to be. Ki al yidei hatzimtzum hasheni neskaimu akelim, through that second constriction, The world is now able to exist. Yes.
So there, you didn't mention a step where Hashem made Caleb. Is that because the contraction just like inherently made like a space where there's like, so to speak, less Hashem?
Right. The vessel is sort of that void. Right. That's a good point. When did God make these vessels that are supposed to receive this new light? And the answer is right. When Hashem pulls back and makes a space, that's what a kli is. A kli is a void. It's something that's able to receive. So when Hashem pulls back, that memela makes, sounds like it, you know, memela makes the space, but then the space is still overwhelmed and Hashem has to pull back further. Again, Hashem didn't know it was going to break the first time. Of course, you know. But obviously this is teaching us something, which we'll see. We'll see what that something is. Okay? So that's the transition from the Olam HaTov, the world of brokenness, the world of desolation, to a world of tikkun, to a world of perfecting, of fixing. By the way, what happens when Mashiach comes? What does the Gemara tell us at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah? What are the nations of the world going to say? Here's another Gemara?
Oh, yeah. No.
Famous Gemara, you know the Gemara.
That's so good.
What are they going to say? We want to give us another chance, right? We feel bad we didn't take the Torah the first time around. So Hashem says, okay, I have an easy mitzvah for you. It's a mitzvah kala, very easy mitzvah. It's called sukkah. So what do? They go up to the rooftops, the Gemara says, and they build. Everyone builds a sukkah, and they're all excited. What does Hashem do? Hashem brings out the sun. Ketkufas kamas, right? Bright, sunny day. And what do? They go out of their sukkah, frustrated that it's too hot, and they leave the sukkah, and they give it a kick on the way out. The Gemara says, mitzta'ir pater min ha-sukkah. Right, for most East Coast Jews, the mitzvah of sukkah is rain and freezing cold. For West Coast Jews, sometimes mitzvah of sukkah is too hot. Right? You know, it's perfect in LA all the time. I got it. Some places, sometimes it's too hot. You could be potter from sukkah because it's too hot. So the Gemara says, what do they do wrong? They're allowed to leave the sukkah. Yeah, but they didn't have to kick the sukkah. However, what's this Indian Hashem brought out the light, Ketkufas Tamuz, just very quickly. And by the way, the Mormon Shemesh, in his writings on sukkahs, he says this yesod. You know what it means? Hashem says, you want to meet me? Oh, you have charata that we never met before. The nations of the world say, God, we feel bad. We wish we would have gotten to know you. You want to get to know me? No problem. Kadosh Baruch Hu turns the bright lights on. They're totally overwhelmed. They're blinded by the light. That's what the tzaddikim explained. What was Makas Choshech? Remember this Torah? Pinchas Koritzer, another tzaddikim. What was Makas Choshech? How could the Pasuk say? It was Choshech for the Egyptians. It was light for us and dark for them. So the Pasha Pshai, yeah, Hashem made it light in one area and dark in one area. No, it was dark for them because they were blinded by the light. They couldn't handle Hashem's revelation on as he was coming to take us out of Mitzrayim. So that's the same thing. The nations of the world, they're not. We've spent all of Galus adjusting to the light through every mitzvah that we do. Kiner mitzvah Torah or. We've adjusted to the light. Hashem tries to give them, you know, the light on full blast, and they're frustrated by it. They feel overwhelmed by it. Because it's gaiva. You have to have humility to recognize that there's going to be a bigger, brighter light in the world than you. They built their sukkah where? On their rooftops, the Gemara says. Why does it say on their rooftops? It was gaiva, Dick. Said, oh, we're going straight to the top now. God gave us a mitzvah, and we're going straight to the top. Hashem's like, yeah, you think you're at the top? You think you can handle it? Hashem takes out the bright lights. They go running and kicking. Yeah.
With that understanding of the Gemara and the Avodah Zarah, that the light is this light that we're talking about here, what does that tell us about, like, what the function of a sukkah is? As, like, is
so,
there a chance for them?
So a sukkah, again, what happens when we look through the cracks of the sukkah? We see a little bit of light. We see the stars. Right? That's part of adjusting our eyes to the light. The sukkah has a lot of messianic imagery. So it's very much a Mashiach Tikiyantiv. Helps prepare us for Mashiach. So also, when I'm sitting in the sukkah, I can't see the world because all the sides are closed in. I mean, I know it could be 2.5 walls, but I'm saying a sukkah is closed in. Right? So which way do I look in the sukkah? I look up. I can't see the full lights, but I'm supposed to see the kochavim through the sukkah. I see little glimmers of light. Right? And that's, again, that's part of the adjusting of a Jew's eyes to the light of Lasi Lavo. That's why after Sukkot, my eyes have gotten a little bit stronger from the stars. Now I'm ready for what? What's our next Yom Tov?
So
Ready for the Napsai, you're ready for the Ur HaGanuz, is the lights of Hanukkah, which also is the light of Mashiach. So these are all ways that we're starting to adjust our eyes to the light. But the Goyim think, all of a sudden, like, oh, now God said, oh, you know, Hashem says, I'll give you a sukkah. I'll give you a sukkah. He calls it a mitzvah kala. But Hashem saw the way that they thought, now we're totally enveloped by the sukkah, or on a high level, build it on our rooftops. So Hashem says, oh, you think you can handle the light? I'll make it very bright. Not looking at the stars for the sukkah, I'll give you Tekufas Tamas. I'll give you Tekufas Tamas, full blast, summer day, yeah.
So there's this sefer, I think it's called the Nahar Yotzim Eidan.
Okay.
I think so. It's this Israeli Rav. And there's a shiur once by like a Bar Ilan experience Rav that like over a Shabbos, he like gave all these different things from the sefer about how we're literally experiencing Gan Eden and Yisukkah. And like the one that I remember was that like there was a whole bunch of questions and he said like, oh, because we're in Gan Eden and it explains everything.
For
so
sure.
It was like, we have all these Ushvizen. Like, what does that mean that we're like with, like Abraham's a guest? Because like,
right.
We're in Gan Eden, and
right.
Like, Abraham's literally sitting there, like he's actually physically present.
Because Gan Eden, Svasamis talks about it. When we're in the sukkah, we're in Gan Eden. What's the gematria of Gan Eden?
Are we using Sophie?
Regular. How much is Gan Eden, friends?
173? No.
Gan is 53?
177.
Yeah.
177, right? What's 177? That's 177. How much is a Muna?
177.
Which is a Muna? A Muna, you gotta know. Yeah, that's when you gotta know. How much is a Muna? A Muna is 102. How much is Bitachon? 75. What's a Muna plus Bitachon? When a Yid has a Muna and Bitachon? When he believes in God in theory, that's what a Muna is, and he believes in God in practice, that's what Bitachon is, he's in Gan Eden. In the sukkah, we're as safe as we can. We're mamish in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms. We feel so safe and protected. We're sitting b'tzela de mehemnusa, though. The sukkah is called the shadow of faith, the shade of faith. We're sitting in Hashem's arms. Of course, we have a moon and bitachon. We have a moon and bitachon. We're in Gan Eden. Okay, you didn't hear that one from Rav Shor? He likes to say that.
He said that also one sits in the sukkah, he's hiding from the gzeras.
He's hiding from the gzeras, that's right.
Protected,
but he feels safe. Okay, good. So, Chavis, now let's put it together. So now, look at this. With this, we can begin the Torah together. Bereshis bara Elokim. Uncle says, Bikodmin bara Kadmin. What does that mean? Ratzalomar. Bitchila bara Elokim. Hainu Tzimtzum. Now it actually makes sense. Right? The first thing Hashem actually did, the real first thing, the Kadmin, the very first thing, the initial move of Hashem is that Hashem bara Elokim, Hashem made Elokim. What do you mean, made Elokim? What's Elokim? Which name of Hashem is Elokim? Midas Adin. Midas Adin means what? Constriction. It's not Hashem spreading out, it's Hashem pulling back. Midas Adin. So the first thing Hashem did is he contracted. Bereshis bara Elokim. Betchila bara Elokim. Hainu Atzimtzum. First thing Hashem did was he had to make space for us, so he had to pull himself back. He had to limit himself. Kiviyachol. Uperish bitchila bara tzimtzum. At first Hashem contracted his infinite light, kedeshia makom panoi laolamos, to make a space for the worlds, plural. Kishem Elokim moral tzimtzum haor, because the name Elokim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, contracting his light, kenoda as is known. Achakelim lohaya yecholim lisbol. But what did we say? He's reading Kisvei Arizal into the first Pasuk of Chumash so beautifully, but the vessels couldn't contain it. It was still too much. It was still too overwhelming. It couldn't contain the ore. Migodo behiraso, because it was so bright. Vahayu nivtalin negdo vaya olam tohu. And the world got a little bit shattered from that. The vessels broke. And that's what the Pasuk says. Va'aret haisa tohu vavohu. Right? Things kind of fell apart. Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. So what does the pasuk say? Vayomer Elokim. So let's do another Elokim. Let's do another what? Another Tzimtzum. Elokim always means another. Right? And then, now Yihi Or. Now there's a light that's sustainable. Vayihi Or. That's a light we can work with. Perish. She'acher Olam HaTohu Nasa Olam HaTikun. After the world of desolation comes a world of fixing. After a world of brokenness comes a world of rebuilding. The Hainu Yihi Or Vayihi Or. Hashem says, let there be light, Vayihi Or, and there was light. What's the Lomer? Shanasa Tzimtzum Sheini. Right? Elokim says, I need to contract again. Vayideze Haya Or La Kelim. Shi Yacholim La Sigo. Then there'll be a light that can properly be absorbed. A light that we're able to contain. That's right. It's pretty gevaldic. So now look what he says. This is very deep. So what's beyond this or? What do you call a light, as we just explained, by the Egyptians or by the Umos HaOlam at the end of days? What do you call a light that you can't handle? Call it Choshech. Right? Hashem called it Makas Choshech. Because for them, it was a light that was so bright that it was blinding. If the light is too bright, your eyes will be blackened, your eyes will be darkened. Right? So beyond a light that you're able to handle, we call a light that you're not yet ready for, choshech. If you're reading a sefer that you can't understand, and it doesn't have to be a Kabbalah, it could be a Tosos and Yevamos, it's choshech for you. You could say, I know that Kiner Mitzvah Torah, I know Torah is called Or, but I don't know any of the concepts here. I don't know the first thing about Yibum and Chalitza. I don't know, I have no clue what this Tosos is talking about. Meseches Temura. I don't even heard there was a Meseches Temura. Meseches Uksin. This doesn't mean anything. It's Choshech to me. I know the Torah is light, but for me, this Torah is still in the dark. Because I don't yet have the capacity to grasp it. Right? It breaks me. It overwhelms me. That was the original light. It was too bright. So, Lamal Mizahor Hu Bechinas Choshech, He Davreshu Bilti Musag, because something you don't yet grasp, Mechuna B'Shem Choshech, is called darkness. Kamaimer Akasov, like the Pasuk says, Yoshes Choshech Sisro. Interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu associates what? With Choshech, his place of concealment. It's not dark, it's incredibly bright. Why is it called darkness? Because from our perspective, we don't have access. We're in the dark. Vizeu Vayavdel Elokim Ben Ha'or Ben HaChoshech. So now we understand again how to read the Pasuk. Right? Hashem was able to what? To separate between the Or and the Choshech. Ratzalomar. Shehevdil asa Kadosh Baruch Hu bein Or haba al yedei Tzimtzum Hasheni. Shaya efshar la'asigo. Hashem distinguished between the Or that we would now be able, because again it's packaged in a more accessible way, now we're able to grasp it. Hashem distinguished that from what? From the original Or, which from our perspective is called Choshech, because we couldn't handle it. Bein Or hakadmon, Hamachuna b'shem Choshech, the original light, which again for us is still called Choshech. Machmas shelo haya be'efshari lahasigo, because we weren't able to grasp it. V'dvarim elu nirmazim be'itzchayim uve'emek hamelech, and he said, and everything I just explained to you, I was nice enough to reveal it to you, so you should just know how deep the first couple of psukim of the Chumash, and how it's not just describing. We read it and we say, oh, this is Hashem building this one. No, this is. Hashem is building all of the olamos. Hashem is setting up the whole structure of how we're going to be able to interact with Him. Right? It's mamish all of creation. From Hashem's opening move of Tzimtzum, and then the Tzimtzum Sheni, and the ability to let us in. And all of this is for us. It's all for us. Like I told you in the Berditchver, Hashem wants that we should be able to now take the world by the reins and to have a hashpa on Hashem. Tenu oz le'elokim, David Melech says. Right? Give strength to God. Incredible opportunity. Give power to Hashem. I'm going to give power to Hashem. Yeah, give strength to Hashem. Yeah.
If it's like, it's above me, I'm totally cool with that, but why is Elokim Tzimtzum?
It's very simple. Without making it complicated. Elokim is, again, Hashem's name Yudkeh Vavkeh, and his name Elokim. Yudkeh Vavkeh is Chesed. And Elokim is Gvura, is Midas Adin. right? So the nature of chesed is to be mispashet, is to spread out. Avram Avinu's tent, it's open on all sides. It's running around. It's all over the place. And Balshem Tov. Yeah? Gvura, Elokim, Midas Hadin, right, is Yitzchak. Yitzchak's very intense. Very withdrawn. Tied up at the Akedah. Never leaves Eretz Yisrael. His whole thing is constriction. So Elokim is pulling back. Yudkei Vavkei, it's Hashem opening up. Elokim is a Kodesh Baruch Hu pulling back. That's what Elokim always means. Gvura, Midas HaGvura, Midas HaDin. Denying, holding back, withdrawing. Right? Does that make sense? And the goal is the recognition that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Hu Elokim. It's all the same. Sometimes it looks like Hashem is smiling at you, sometimes it looks like Hashem is punishing you. Right? But the world of Yudkei Vavkei, we're not ready for it. It's too open. I know it's all over the Torah, but I'm saying, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem has to start by pulling back, because if you were to get too much of the essence of Hashem, you're not ready for it. It's Choshech for us. That's why Choshech is Gematria Avram. Go figure that one out. It's not really. You're going to say, no, it's not. Right, Daniel? It's not. But it is. Because what's the Sofir? Chav Sofir. Choshech is how much? So Chav Sofir is 500. So Choshech is 808. How much is Avram with the Mem Sofir? Also 808. The connection is because again, if Yudkei Vavkei is Hashem with bright lights, right? That's Midas HaChesed, that's Midas of Avraham. So sometimes that world is Choshech, people who can't handle it. So Avraham's breaking all the idols. Because when Avraham turns on his bright lights to them, it breaks everything. It's too powerful. They can't handle it. It's interesting. So Hashem has to start with the Midas of Yitzchak. Hashem has to pull back in order to then give. It's a basic yisod. If I don't know how to say no, I don't really know how to say yes. Right? If I don't know how to pull away, then I can't really be close. People say, like, you know, I'm best friends with everyone, so you're not actually friends with anyone. That's not possible. It's only when I have that ability to discern that I can give, and I can genuinely give. Yeah.
So how are we giving strength to Hashem if we're the ones becoming more used to this life?
If we're becoming
used to his life, how are we getting back?
So then we start climbing the ladder. We work our way up from the bottom. But we give back by, again, when we do Torah and mitzvos, when we learn Torah, when we do mitzvos, when we live a life of Torah and mitzvos, so that's our way of you know, giving, building up the lights. Right? Hashem gave us a little bit of light to get started. And now every time we add to that light with our Torah and our mitzvahs, we're bringing more of Hashem's light into the world.
So are we making new light? We're revealing more light.
I think revealing is a good way to say it. Making also, but I think revealing is a good way to say it. Right? We're helping the world to handle more light. That's our job. Our job is to spread the light. Okay. Let's do one. That was a very Ben Adam Lemakom piece. Let's just do one smaller Ben Adam Lechavero piece. Go to the very end of the parsha. The second to last piece. Just now that we're back together as a chevra, you know, let's learn a little Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. You guys have the page? Who's got the page? Vayitzav Hashem Elokim ve'etz hadas tov v'ra lo sochal. Vayomer hanachash, yeah, you see it? Ki yodeya Elokim, vayisim ki Elokim, yodeya tovra. So the nachas is trying to seduce Adam and Chava to eat from the tree, and you could be like God. V'tipakachna einei shneiam, they ate from the tree, their eyes were opened. V'yeidu ki erumim heim, and they saw that they were undressed. V'ira ki erum anochi. And Hashem said, Adam, what's with you? Right? The existential question of all of humanity, Ayeka, where are you? Not geographical location, but where are you holding in the world? And Adam says, "I'm hiding because I realize that I'm naked." Okay. So says the Rebbe, "Yeishleimer b'zeh derech asmachta." we can say the following allusion. Kinea Odom Habo La'avod Hashem. Chevra, if you want to get ahead in Avodas Hashem, it's never by trampling someone else. That's not how you get ahead. The goal is not to be frummer than, smarter than, better than. Kinea Odom Habo La'avod Hashem. If you really want to serve Hashem, if you want to make your service of Hashem honest and sincere and menschlich, Tzarech Li'izar Labal Yistakol V'chesron Chavero Klal. Do not look at the chisaron of your friend. Don't focus on other people's shortcomings and say, oh, and therefore I'm a good guy, because I'm not as bad as. Don't focus on the chisaron of someone else. V'lo yachzik atzmo l'chacham. And don't be so smart to say, yeah, I've got this guy figured out. Lios meivin al chaveiro val darko. Yeah, I know what this guy's about. Don't be fooled. Yeah, he's not such a firm guy. He's not such a this, he's not such a that. Yeah, I know what he's up to. I see. I understand his life. That's how smart you have to be to really claim you know someone else's life. You understand why they do things that they do. Says the Mor v'Shemesh, don't make the mistake of judging anyone, thinking you've got it all figured out. Ki ha'odom yira le'inayim v'Hashem yira le'levav. Because we only see what's on the surface, and Hashem sees the heart of a person. Right? It's a pasuk. A person can see the eyes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see what's in the heart. Gama odom hamistakel b'chisaron chavero, a person who looks at the shortcoming of his friend, who machmas gavaso. Why do you have to see bad? There's nothing good you can find by this guy. Why are you seeing negative? It must be your own gaiva. Right? You're haughty, you're full of yourself. Shemachzik atzmo l'erechma. You think you're a big shot, you think you're a somebody. He assesses himself as being worth something. Kim hayenichna umakir chasrono, because if he was honest about his own shortcomings and his own failures, v'ivuso, in the areas where he's very imperfect, yachzik l'chameiro tovimeto. Then he'll look at his friend in a generous way and see how his friend is better than him. Because my friend, I can give the benefit of the doubt. My own avaros, I know what I did wrong. So my friend, I can make excuses for him in ways that I know it would be dishonest for me to make excuses for myself. So I should really see everyone as better than me. V'lo yistako b'chesrono klal, not to see his shortcomings at all. Rachmachmas shehu b'gadlus b'einei atzmo, but because he sees himself as so big in his own eyes, l'chein lo yashra b'einav divrei v'darche chaver. His friend's ways is not good enough. Everything his friend does is, yeah, I'm walking the straight path, and because of my perspective, everyone else is crooked. Everyone else is off. Everyone else is to this or to that, too machmir, too mekil, right? Not enough of this, not enough of that. V'zeh haya malas Yaakov Avinu alav shalom. This is a beautiful pshat. Look what he says here, and this is the greatness of Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu is called what? An ish tam. What does it mean, he's an ishtam? A simple person, I don't like that translation, a wholesome person. An ishtam who was what? Yoshev Oalim. He stayed in his own tents. Wasn't busy poking his head into other people's worlds. Yaakov knew how to stay in his lane. Right? The greatness of Yaakovino is that what? Shaloyim machzik atmo l'chochom l'havchin b'darchi chaveh. I'm a simple person. I'm an ishtam. Right? I don't judge others. That's who we're supposed to be, B'nai Yaakov. That's who we are. We're supposed to be wholesome people, sweet people, kind people, honest people. And we don't think that we're so smart that we've got everything figured out. That's a terrible mistake. V'yesh l'smoch zo. So again, we can see that this is alluded to, again, the B'nai Adam l'chaveiro shoresh of Chet Eitz Hadas, what happened with the Nachash. Al maimer akasu v'me Eitz Hadas tovara. The tree that will offer the ability to decide this is good and this is bad. Lo socha mimenu. Don't eat from it. Don't get involved in that. Don't be someone who's labeling this one's good, this is bad, I know best. Machmas shal yedei ze yichonis b'cha yetzahara v'geyus. Because when you eat from that tree, you're letting gaiva, you're letting the yetzahara into your inner world. The Nachash was walking around outside of Adam and Chav and Gan Eden. It's only after we decided to get smart that the Yetzirah entered into a person. And now all of a sudden, what? Now your heart is filled with the knowledge to what? To judge others. Ha'im tov, imra, machmas shetachzik atzvach halachachem. Because now you think, I'm so smart. I've got to figure it out. And Chavran, this is the deception. This is exactly what the Nachash did. This was the trickery of the Nachash. Who's the one who has the right to judge? Should we be able to answer that question in our sleep? Hashem judges. Hashem can decide what's good and bad. Comes along the Nachash, who's described as what? How do we first meet the Nachash, Parak Gimel? What's our introduction to the Nachash? He's what? He's the what? Most cunning of all creatures. What word does he use? Nachash haya arum, mikol chayas asada. Arum. Arum? Malbish arumim? Thought arum means naked. The Nachash was the most naked of all the animals? That's not what arum here means. Right, what's arum? Right, Rashi tries to connect it to the clothing of the end of Perek Beis. Rashi realizes there's some connection here. Right, but arum is translated as clever or cunning. Right? He was a charlatan. He was very smart, but in a very negative way. So you think, says the Nachash, you want to be smart like me. You want to be like God. You want to be able to judge people. You want to be able to know who's good, who's bad, what's what. Eat from this tree. Enter the world of Eitz Hadas, Tov Vera, and you'll also be able to judge. You'll be like God. Shaydei Achilas Eitz Tischakim. You'll become wise from eating from the tree. Shatei Delahavchin Darche Zulasim Tov Vera. You'll be able to assess this guy is good, this guy is bad. V'tasig Hasaga She'in Chamasig Ata. And come on, lose that innocence. You have to go your whole life pretending everyone's so good, everyone's so nice, everyone's well-meaning, and if they mess up, give them benefit of the doubt. The Nachash says, that's annoying, don't be like that. You be a little more, you know, have the ability to discern a bit more. V'zeo. So now we understand what the Pasuk says. V'yadu ki eru mimheim. They understood that they were what? That they were naked. But what it means on a deeper level is that what? They said, oh yeah, we acquired the wrongful wisdom of the Nachash by eating from the tree. Right? They didn't just realize that they were undressed and that's why they were embarrassed. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu finds Adam and Chava hiding in the garden and they're all embarrassed, it's not just that they're embarrassed. Right? They're not just arumim, but they're erumim. Right? They're erum. They have this wisdom of the Nachash. Nachash haya arum. They had the wisdom of the Nachash. Now all of a sudden they have this Yetzirah and this Gaiva inside of them. Right, now look how clever we are, look how smart we are. We're like God, I can judge people. And that's what Adam says. But then Adam realized, you know what? I was embarrassed, I was afraid. Ki eirom anochi, shani misyare, machva shani roa atzmi, shalibi misnasabi. Adam said, look how holy I became. Look what happened to me. Lemur shani arum v'chacham. I'm so smart. I'm so clever. Uvasi lide gaiva. Adam came to a state of gaiva. V'nisyare me'od misa. And when Adam hides himself, right, he's trying to make himself small again. He has at least the humility to admit, I really messed up. He's embarrassed by that mistake. Because what happens when we judge someone? And then we'll hear from Gedaliah Aaron in 1 second. What happens when you judge someone? Elia Cohen. Eli sees Chana and she's muttering to herself. She's mumbling her tefillos. He thinks she's a drunken woman. Right? And he says, what's with you? You're a drunkard. What does he find out? It's mamish, the farthest thing from the truth. It's the exact opposite. He's describing her as this lowly woman, and who is she really? She's this big tzaddikas who's literally, you know, creating the shoresh of what it means to talk to Hashem. Right? So when you judge someone, you end up feeling stupid and embarrassed because you were so quick to judge, and then you find out, that's why I saw this person over there. That's why they acted that way because they were going through. I didn't realize they were going through it. Had I known they were there was illness in the family, had I known they lost his job, had I known it was. Right? You end up feeling stupid. So that's what happens. So Adam acquired this wisdom to judge, to all of a sudden to decide who's good, who's bad, what's what. But immediately afterwards, he had the humility to realize, who do I think I am? And he ended up being embarrassed by his own wisdom, his own gaiva. And Adam had the humility to respond, at least by what? By lowering himself by saying, I didn't get empowered. I feel naked and bare. I feel embarrassed. I feel like I had a nice, wholesome connection to the world, and now I see everything in this judgmental way, and I've ruined everything. Right? And he's ashamed by that. He feels naked. He's lost his innocence. As opposed to Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam, Yoshev, Olim, Yaakov Avinu, who again knew how to stay in his place and to see things in the right way. Yeah.
I was thinking about it, and it hit me that when it talks about the snake, that it could mean that he was naked, and it could mean that, like, there is a duality in terms of what naked is, right? There's being close to Hashem in terms of, like, the innocence and, like,
right.
Like, you have no other garments on that you're trying to wear other than, like, having the godliness, like, flow through you.
Right.
But then you also have, like, you're putting on other klipas that are, like, kind of blocking. They're blockages, and, like, they're not letting it flow. So it's almost like the snake was the type of naked where he wasn't close to Hashem, and, like, he was... Sorry, there's another type of meaning, because there's the duality of being close, and then, because you could, let's say you use the example of, like, spheres of risk. Like, there's one area where it could be very holy, where you could use midas yisod and your risk.
Right.
And there's another way where you could abuse that power, that
right.
holiness. So, the snake was kind of the negative of not being close to Hashem. And the Adam and Chava, before they put their clothing on,
right.
it could have been either one, because you could also interpret the way with the leaves of being klipas that they were kind of like getting distant from Hashem because they eventually didn't listen to Hashem and they ate from the tree. Or you could say that they were trying to get away from the snake and they were really trying
right,
to...
Right, so, right. so I think what you're saying is the tikkun for thinking that you're smart... In this way, in this negative way that the snake is being described, right? The tikkun for that is to admit that you're naked. In other words, what I thought you were going to say is that why does a person judge someone else? I should talk very pashut dibur, very practical. Why do I look down at someone else? It's my own insecurity. It's my, I'm jealous, right? Because I'm naked. Because I don't have. It's my own insecurity. If I was really such a chashuv person. If I had such healthy self-confidence, I wouldn't be judging anyone else. So the Nachash, his wisdom, his creativity, his desire to drag down Adam and Chava is, again, really just a manifestation of his own nakedness, right? His own shallowness. So Adam and Chava then enter into that world of, oh, now we know, Yodea Tovara. And the tikkun for that is to say, no, I'm not. I'm naked. And make myself small and humble again. That's how I get out of that. And that's how I start to see the good in others. Right? That's how I fix the... A cycle, yeah.
I actually completely like reverse twist on
that's there, that's
everything,
there.
But I'm excited. I don't want to come out and see. Like, I was thinking that the wisdom and the cleverness of the Nachash was that he actually was Arum in the sense that he was so naked and revealed. Meaning, we think of the snake as something that's like a lowly creature and he was bad, but in all reality, in that world, he was. So revealed that it actually was perceived as Choshech, like the same way that we were talking, relating to the Borah.
What do you mean? He was
Arum, like he was saying, because I know God and I know everything. Like, so they actually wanted to like reach that level of the Nachash. So when we say like, when we say the Bracha of that we say Mabish Arum and Hashem clothes the naked. It's not only in the literal sense that Hashem gives us clothing to wear. But in the sense that Hashem's actually doing the chesed for us. So that once Adam and Chava actually fell into the quote-unquote trap, but it wasn't a trap of the Nachash, is what I'm trying to say, they were then exposed to that reality, but Hashem then clothed them because he's like, you can't see all this light right now. And that's why the Nachash is Gematria Mashiach, because he was actually, you know, way ahead of his time before anyone else. Meaning, he was like the Korach of his, he understood it before anyone
right.
else. Kind of, that was like my twist.
Okay. I hear.
So why did they put their clothing on there?
Because they couldn't contain the light. Once they reached that level, Hashem's like,
I mean, Hashem says there is right, meaning
not a punishment, a favor.
A favor to help them to function again. Yeah, you want to say something?
So like it's not like I guess coming to Eitz HaDaat, it's not for like judging and like yeah, people can how does the like the world what's you come to the world like that's all about like looking at people
yourself. You're saying we have an obligation to. And there's a mitzvah of tochacha, right? If you see someone doing the wrong thing,
judging here, it's
because again, it's a question of am I judging the person or am I trying to help the person, right? Meaning, how do you, it's very simple to assess. How do I feel when I point out to someone else that they're doing the wrong thing? If there's a shmeck of gaiva,
usually awkward.
Awkward, but I'm saying if there's gaiva, if there's a sense of like, oh, I know this and you don't.
That's fine. That's judging.
That's not judging. That's helping. That's why he associates it with gaiva. He keeps associating with gaiva. If it's your way of saying I'm better than you, then that's gaiva. That's an expression of gaiva, and then you're playing God, because you think you know tov and ra. But obviously, Hashem gave us the ability to be people of discernment, right? But if it's not manifesting as Yitzhar and Gaiva. Again, how do you feel? When you see someone doing something wrong, do you feel pain that they did something wrong and you want to help them? And you want them to be better Jew? Or do you say I'm smarter than you, I'm better than you. It's very simple to assess. And would you have rather not seen it, right? Are you proud that you get to now tell this person that they're doing something wrong? Or do you wish, I wish they would have known. I wish they would have known. How do you feel when someone else has a spiritual accomplishment? Are you able to celebrate it? Are you really rooting for Hashem or are you rooting for yourself? That's really the question. No?
Yeah.
That's why it's associated with gaiva. That's why it's associated with
gaiva. Saying that you wish they would have known is also gaiva.
Oh, I genuinely wish I would have known because I care that Jews do mitzvahs, not aveiros. So if I see someone being Mechal Shabbos, right? I wish I didn't have to tell them it. I wish they knew it. I wish they knew more about Shabbos than I did. I assumed everyone knows more about Shabbos than I do. That's not because I know my own shortcomings.
Is that like saying like, oh, I wish they were like at my level and they would have known because I know that?
No. Like if you say it like that, then again.
No, I know.
So that's what I'm saying. It's very easy to assess
like
where it's coming from.
Difficult.
No, but it's very easy to be, again, if you're honest about it, it's very easy
it's very
to say. Am I looking down?
Or that situation, though.
It is. Guy was... a terrible disease of the human condition that we have to work. The Rambam says you have to try to eradicate it completely. It's one of those midos raos that has to be completely destroyed. Yeah.
I read in a book called The Beast That Crouches at the Door.
Yeah.
They said that the nakedness, they did the same connection, nakedness and cunning, but it was more about the words the snake used. The words he used said that we're going to be like Hashem, you're going to know good and evil.
Right.
It was true. They obviously, like, they had a sense of wisdom to discern between them. He wasn't lying. That's like what the nakedness was. There wasn't anything that was hiding that truth. It was completely truthful, but he spinned it in such a way that it was cunning.
Right.
And that was the secret behind it. So then my next question is, then what does it mean then later? Hashem says, banish them from the garden, lest they become like us. Because if they're already like Hashem, if they know good and evil, then what could they possibly attain?
I don't know. It's a hard pasuk.
Why is it like us and not like
it's a hard pasuk.
Because then
kids
are divorced. Isn't the us bit just so important that they can't live forever? They have to have a limited talent.
I think what would God even affect that?
Heina Adam haya ka'achar mimenu. Adam has become unique like us. Ledas tovera. And maybe he's going to eat from the tree of life and live forever. Parshas Bereishis, friends. Wild stuff.
A lot going on.
Very futuristic. Yeah.
Well, I read from Noah Weinberg who said that I had the question about what happened if they ate the tree of life first, because they were allowed to eat from that.